What if the Federal Reserve actually is going to increase interest rates rather than cut interest rates, what everyone thinks is going to happen? I've been warning you now for a number of weeks that when this money dries up and this massive stimulus program dries up, the Fed is going to be in a very interesting position, especially if commercial banks start collapsing around commercial real estate or small banks start collapsing around commercial real estate because of these defaults. What is the Fed going to do? And I think it's a very interesting question. And you don't be surprised if we actually see that over the coming weeks. We're going to get to your questions here. Today is our Q&A episode where you're able to leave us a voicemail question by going to our website, morrisinvest.com. We've got three great questions from our audience today, which we'll play those in a minute. But first, I want to really throw this out there as a thought experiment. What if the Fed has to actually increase interest rates in March after their big March 20th meeting? And in the spring, I know everyone is assuming, of course, that we're going to see interest rates coming down and then real estate will explode. Real estate markets will explode. And this, of course, will really wet the weevils of the economy. I think the key driver in all of this and why I'm throwing out this idea, this thought experiment that the Fed might have to increase interest rates is because of inflation. We just got higher than expected inflationary numbers once again, the latest CPI data. And one of the worst things that could happen right now for the central bank is for us to go into this reacceleration of inflation and paying more for everything. Sitting there wondering if your US dollar is going to be able to provide for your family the way that it used to a couple of years ago. This would be devastating to Jerome Powell. Jerome Powell, of course, did a big 60 Minutes interview just a few short weeks ago, and it seemed like they were setting him up for he's the savior. And then in the next few weeks, he's going to be slashing interest rates. He brought down inflation, saved the economy. After all, it is an election year. President Biden is slashing student loan debt, right? You do not want a massive inflationary period during a presidential election. So, of course, the White House is going to do whatever it can to try to make sure that interest rates stay low. But what if his hands are tied? What if we see significant increases to inflation once again? The printing of the U.S. dollar. Consumers would be hurt by this higher inflation, of course, and investors would be sort of caught really in a weird position right now. Stock market has been exploding, but what if suddenly all these asset prices rise on this idea that, of course, interest rates are coming, right? They've been investing in the stock market because we think this is priced in. We know that interest rates being slashed is priced into the current market. That's why there's been all this excitement in the stock market. But what if it's not real? What if interest rates are not slashed? We're talking pandemonium. I think we're really seeing a really dangerous moment right now. It might be shocking to many people to hear, but if you think about how quickly things could turn if the Fed says, wait a second, we can't slash interest rates. We're going to see, I thought we'd see an explosion in the real estate market in the spring because interest rates would come down. People running out to get 30-year mortgages. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting. It would put all of these things to a grinding halt. We could really be in for one of the worst recessions we've seen in decades this year. Again, that's why I'm saying be very careful right now. Pay attention to what's happening, okay? Really pay attention to what's happening right now. So with that, today is our Q&A episode where you bring in your investing questions and we attempt to answer them here on the show. You can go to our website, morrisinvest.com, and there's a microphone icon on the right side of your screen. You can click there and leave us a voicemail question. Of course, our main focus is buying real estate. We believe that buying cash flowing real estate, holding it for the rest of our lives is the number one way to build wealth. That's the focus of my investing strategy. And that's what our team does, by the way, at Morris Invest. If you'd like to come over and book a call with our team for free, you can do that right on our homepage. And we will help you get set up and actually start investing in real estate. We build brand new construction properties in the best rental markets in the country. And brand new construction built in the best school districts. With a whole team that's full service. So you don't have to, you can live out of state. Like I live far away from my rental properties. You buy them, they cash flow, and you just collect monthly rent checks. And we build this for our investors in mind. So anyway, come over to our website. All right, let's get to our first question today from Eric.
Hey, Clay, this is Eric here. Also go by EJ. Firstly, wanted to thank you for your platform, your content, everything that you do and everything that you stand for. Resonate personally with your story. Before I jump into my question, some context is I'm 25 years old. I am in a large public Fortune 500 company in a sales capacity, and I'm getting better and ramping up in that capacity. And so I'll have the ability to create capital moving forward. I have a whole life insurance policy, and I just bought a condo this past September as my primary residence. Moving forward, my question is surrounding a self-directed IRA. It's my understanding that if you buy any real estate within that self-directed IRA, that income from that property needs to stay within that IRA, and thus you can't take that money and directly pay for your month-to-month expenses. Now, there are a lot of benefits to the self-directed IRA, and that is my goal long-term versus a 401k. But short-term, I want to understand how to make it work because I want to hit my freedom number. I want to get out of the rat race. I want to get out of my 9-to-5 at a younger age so I can enjoy my good years and overall just have more freedom. And to do that, if I buy properties in my IRA, I can't necessarily take that money directly to my expenses. So help me understand the balance between the short-term and long-term goals and priorities. And hope my question's clear. And thank you for your response.
Hey, thanks so much, Eric. Appreciate the question. So it's a great question because this is something that I try to bring up here on the show regularly, which is the idea of, you know, what is your why? What do you want to accomplish? When you download the Freedom Cheat Sheet that we give away for free, if you just go to morrisinvest.com/freedom, Eric, have you downloaded it? I hope you have. I think it'll really help you understand what your freedom number is right now and where you want to go. So what the Freedom Cheat Sheet teaches you to do is to look at your monthly expenses, and then what is the freedom number that you need in order to live financially free? So with a self-directed IRA, I would never encourage anyone, personally, I would never encourage anyone to just go out there and set up a self-directed IRA and start investing in real estate as a way of paying your monthly expenses today, right? This is like a long-term strategy. For me, I believe the power of a self-directed IRA is when you've had an old 401k from a job and you've left that job and now it's just sitting there. Maybe you've got like $70,000 in a 401k plan. Okay, you've left that. You can't touch it. You left the job. It's just sitting there. What are you going to do with it? That's when I take it and roll it into a self-directed IRA, right? Because I'm not going to cash it out and start spending that money on other things. No, it's in a retirement account. So now let me roll it over to a self-directed account. Now it's $70,000. That's like enough for one down payment on a rental property. And then you've got like 20 or so thousand left over that you can use to buy gold or silver or something else in this nice little nest egg. Now, that self-directed IRA owns a rental property. And that cash flow will grow inside of that account tax-free, right? Until you retire, 59 and a half years old. You know, you can't touch it. You don't touch it. You don't do anything with it. And you just forget about it. Sort of set it and forget it. Now, again, I'm saying this. You had a 401k, had $70,000 in it. Great. Set up a self-directed IRA. Maybe you had an old IRA that you want to convert over to a self-directed IRA. Great. In those instances, a self-directed IRA to me is perfect. But would you just go out and blindly, you know, set up a self-directed IRA today to start investing in real estate? Probably not. Why? Because you're limited in how much you can put in it per year. So if you're starting from scratch, you can only put a certain amount in it, not very much at the beginning. So again, this is an account probably that you've rolled over from an old retirement account that you would then use to start investing. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Now, separately, I would want to look at, well, how do I want to live today? And I would want to live with the cash flow today, right? You're 25 years old. So it's not exactly like you're at retirement age, like you're going to be pushing shuffleboard at a retirement community. Okay. So you're still working. Presumably you want to be a good member of society and you want to be contributing to society and working and doing things that are meaningful to you and, you know, and to your city and to your country. And you're going to be doing things that bring value to you and your family and all of those things. You're not just going to be sitting back on the couch, right? So in that situation, I would start to accumulate properties in the buy, own, and cash flow phase, right? There's three phases of real estate. So in your phase, I'd want to be acquiring properties and buying them using other people's money. I'd want to be using the bank's money as much as I can and buying great rental properties, okay? And then eventually once those are paid off, then then you will own them, okay? And then we go into the cash flow phase when you get maybe 20 years from now, 15 years from now. So it really comes down to how you want to live right now. Do you today at 25 years old want to retire? Okay, that's a whole other animal. Well, then we need to get right to the cash flow phase, right? We need to be buying properties that will producing monthly cash flow for us today so we can live and travel the world and all of those things. Great. So we've got to think of a different strategy. You've got to be figuring out how can you be leveraging the assets that you're acquiring, using other people's money and buying these assets that are producing monthly cash flow. And then as the equity is being paid down, refinancing them or pulling out home equity lines of credit and buying additional assets. And you're trying to accelerate that as quickly as possible because you want to live financially free today at 25 years old. Maybe a more realistic target is, you know, when you hit 50 years old, you know, now all of that hard work, everything you've done, you've got all these great assets that are producing cash flow. You can just live the life that you want and you don't have to worry about any kind of a pension or a 401k plan to ride you into retirement. And that's how I do it. I work every day. I love working. I enjoy what I do, but I'm building cash flowing assets on the side that are providing for my way of life, both now and when I retire. So it really just comes down to your why, Eric. I mean, again, the self-directed IRA makes no sense for you at this age as a strategy for you to be producing cash flow every month. It's not going to happen. But again, if you do have money in an old 401k plan or an IRA that you want to roll over and start to build that tax-free, great. Have a property or two in that self-directed IRA as you grow. I have it on the side personally. That's how I invest in certain properties. I have my self-directed IRA that purchases properties and gold and silver. Okay. But then if I want cash flow right now and I want the monthly benefits of that, I'm buying properties outside of a self-directed account. Anyway, I hope you find that helpful. All right. Next question.
Hello, Clayton. Big fan. So my question is it smart to take out a HELOC on your current property to put down as a down payment on a new property?
Smart is the answer. Yes, it is. Of course, it depends on interest rates and it depends on your current financial situation, right? I can't say it's smart. I've always think it's smart. It's one of my favorite strategies for building wealth. I point out that you cannot eat equity. So you're sitting in this house that you own, your primary residence, let's say it's worth $500,000, and you have $200,000 of equity, and you can use that with a home equity line of credit. To me, I always think I always say this, but our rental properties at Morris Invest, like our normal down payment is about $50,000, right? And then we have bank financing built in with the rest. So to me, when I hear $200,000 of equity, to me, that's like four rental properties, you know, because that's four down payments of $50,000. And now I've got four rental properties that I bought with the equity in the home I'm living in that I, you know, again, you cannot eat equity. You're sitting on this equity. Why not leverage it? Because when, you know, you sell the house, you'd pay off a home equity line of credit anyway if you're going to move, right? But you have all this equity sitting there doing nothing for you if you don't tap into it. Again, I love the home equity line of credit. So my short answer is yes. And, you know, you have to shop around for a home equity line of credit that suits you. Of course, you know, what interest rate are you going to find right now in this environment? But nevertheless, it's like a free check. It's like a checkbook. They're going to give you like a checkbook basically with a zero balance that you can then use and you can, you know, go out and spend $50,000 and use it as a down payment to buy your first rental property. Now you've got a $50,000 balance on the home equity line of credit. Great. You use the cash flow from that rental property to pay that back. You know, you don't ever want to be underwater, but here you go, right? This is how you acquire properties using that equity. That's how the rich do it. So why shouldn't you, right? Thank you for that question. All right, next question.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Rainer. I'm based in Germany, but I'm originally from South Africa. I have a question. Most of your discussions on property finance or anything is mainly related to America. I haven't really seen anything on the European side as to advice in terms of how to go about investing into European countries instead of American or into European financial platforms or investment platforms, so stock exchange, for example, on the European based and not necessarily only restricted to America. That would be my request. Thank you.
Thanks, Rainier. I appreciate the question. You know, I don't invest in European stocks. I think Europe is very dependent on what the United States does. And I am a little leery right now of what the European Union is doing. And I think we should all be concerned at what the European Union is doing in its relationship with Russia and sanctions against Russia. I mean, Germany just slipped into a recession. Japan is now into a recession. And so when you look at like Germany's needs, you look at Europe's needs right now, there's a need for natural gas. So some things are universal, regardless of continent, right? To me, commodities are always going to be needed. I think Europe right now, more than anything, is going to need commodities. So I would be looking at, in Europe, how can you invest in natural gas? Maybe how can you be investing in oil, uranium, precious minerals? To me right now, I'm very focused on commodities and tangible assets. Also, something that's universal right now is technology and the explosion of artificial intelligence. I think we are in the moment of a revolution with AI. I think you're going to see we're like just seeing the ground level right now of a revolution, really like the invention of the internet. This is like that next level to me. I think you just saw NVIDIA's earnings last week. NVIDIA announced its earnings, and a lot of people thought, like, how is NVIDIA going to like even show any like big boost in earnings? And holy smokes, they blew everyone out of the water because of AI. The demand for AI-backed chips right now to power artificial intelligence, it's taking over everything. You know, when you get on and you chat with like Amazon support, or you're, trying to farm out leads for a cold calling session, you're all using AI now. But you need chips, you need data centers, you need cooling to power these data centers. And this is a revolution. Microsoft announcing a revolution of a new product for Xbox coming out soon. I know that it's going to be artificial intelligence based in their new gaming platform. There's a lot here. So to me, are there European companies that are working tangentially with artificial intelligence? It might not be NVIDIA, right? That's an easy, obvious investment to make, is NVIDIA. But what about the companies that are creating the cooling, the fans for the cooling data centers that are going to be, there's all tangential businesses around AI that I invest in personally. I have a couple of companies that I invest in right now that are related to AI, but you wouldn't know it necessarily by just looking at them on the surface. You know, how are they tied to AI? But they absolutely are. And the explosion there, just like investing in a pool company is real estate, right? If real estate's doing better and the people are buying real estate, they want to put pools in their houses. So investing in pools or the companies that actually dig the holes is important. Also, something else that's universal, of course, is gold and silver. Regardless of where you are around the world. Yes, it's difficult to invest in United States real estate unless you set up a business in the United States and have a business and a checking account in the United States and you incorporate there. It's more difficult to do that from Germany. So gold and silver, you can actually, buy and invest in precious metals while living in Europe. But again, I am mostly focused on real estate and commodities. That's what I invest in. So I would just consider looking around at what are people in Europe currently doing? Are they putting their money into Hong Kong Stock Exchange or investing in Chinese stocks, Central American stocks, emerging markets? I think also it's very interesting to study emerging markets where a lot of money maybe has left some of European stocks and American stocks and has flown into some of these emerging markets in in Brazil and other areas. So to look into those things. Anyway, I know I don't have a clear answer for you, but I just would think outside the box and just think about the bigger signs right now: artificial intelligence, the demand for minerals, the demand for natural gas and energy in Europe is skyrocketing thanks to their bonehead sanctions against Russia. Very, very important in that regard. Thank you guys for your great questions today. Really great questions. Go to our website, morrisinvest.com. Click on the microphone icon on the right side of your screen. Leave us a voicemail question. Also, if you're interested in investing in real estate, our team is a full service team. We can talk with you on the phone and walk you through that process and see if it's a fit for you. Just click the book a call button at morrisinvest.com. So guys, I hope you really have a great start to your 2024. You know, we're entering some interesting times right now. We're going to be watching very closely what happens with these interest rates over the next few weeks. Be careful, guys. Protect yourselves, okay? Be smart with your money. Be smart investors. And we'll see you next time, everyone.